Yes.
But I actually had a couple mugs made that said IT Department of Magic. Because that's how it felt. People just wanted me to wave a wand and like do stuff. Like, hey, wouldn't this be great?
Yes.
Do it. I'm like, okay, let me just take my wand out and wave it around.
Hey there, friend. You're listening to the Hot Mess Hotline, and this is Stephanie Krevens. You are in the right place if you're an ambitious leader who wants to pull off a big transformational project. We teach you how to lead with strategy, innovation, flexibility, and focus for new business results, digital transformation, tough decisions, and so much more. Whatever you're working on, we've got hard-earned lessons from executives to make you more adaptable, and you can put these into practice as soon as this episode is over. Today's guest is Heather Daring. Heather is the Chief Information Officer for Kappa Alpha Theta Fraternity Headquarters here in Indianapolis. She is a rising IT executive. Heather has worked in the industry for 15 years. After earning her master's at Ball State University's Center for Information and Communication Sciences, Heather has worn many, many hats, including networking, database management, hardware and software support, and project management. She loves solving challenging problems and leaving things better than she found them. She champions change, and she strives to support staff through meaningful and lasting change. Let's dig into this episode. Heather is going to walk us through from being an individual contributor in IT and getting a gut punch of a really sucky IT audit to now being the CIO of this same organization. Let's dig in. All right, Heather, tell us about your hot mess, please.
All right. My hot mess, it involves a lot of things, but I think once you boil it down, the issue was the relationship between IT and the business, where the business was really just viewing IT as a service provider and expecting that whatever they thought they needed or actually needed, IT's role was just to say yes. So if the business said jump, IT said how high, and made it happen. And there was very little discipline around processes, if there were any processes, and it just created a lot of unmet expectations.
Yes. And without a discipline for setting expectations, what else was impacted between the relationship?
For example, like whenever there would be projects, there was a lot of scope creep.
Mm-hmm.
So that when, you know, we started a project, by the time we got to the end, it was a completely different project. It was just, so the business is going, this isn't what we asked for. And we were like, well, you did. And then deadlines weren't met because things were changed in the middle and everybody was just upset and
yes.
Not happy.
Yeah. No. So it sounds like no one's needs were being met. Each side had a different understanding of scope and timeline. And of course, on the business side of things, because this happens in marketing and it happens in every version of consulting too, it's, well, I didn't expect me asking for an additional X, Y, and Z for that to change the timeline. And the people delivering on it are like, of course it changes the timeline. Like that was 25 more hours of work.
Exactly.
Like, what planet do you live on? And it was clearly not the same planets.
Right. Yeah.
All right. So no discipline around project management, creating scopes, agreeing to scopes. And so IT was really viewed as just the cost center. Like you do what we say because we generate the money, the revenue, the business, the value in the business. And if you can't deliver on that, then you're bad. So now you're currently the CIO of this organization. So you're killing it. Walk us through what happened after this realization of, okay, none of this is working. What was done?
Sure. So the environment is troubled. Start there.
Yeah.
In the meantime, at the time, there were just two of us, my manager and myself in the IT department. And that was another part of it is the structure of the organization where IT was under finance or under admin.
Mm-hmm.
So there wasn't really any type of representation in the organization for like IT having a seat at the table.
Yeah.
So we were like, hey, let's do an audit and see. And we're thinking, penetration tests, architecture review, that kind of IT audit.
Yes, the technical stuff.
Technical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up being like a fully encompassing audit where our not only our staff were interviewed, but our volunteers were interviewed, our members were interviewed. We did some of the penetration testing as well. But what came out of that audit was ITU suck. And
was that the headline? The headline at the top, IT sucks.
Essentially. Oh. Yes. It was very hurtful. And, you know, my man and I, we were both like very like high responsibility strength people and
yes,
took our roles very seriously, took ownership of everything. I call the database my baby. I mean, we love what we did and it meant a lot to us to provide good service and we thought we were doing that.
Yes.
So to hear that feedback, it was kind of devastating, honestly. And we both updated our resumes because it was just like, I mean, clearly we're failures
yes.
at life.
Holy,
yeah, it was very hurtful.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
But at the same time, we did have people in leadership who were like, we know this is harsh and we recognize that there are other things going on here and that expectation versus reality is part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were like, we don't want you all to go anywhere. So let's move forward. And there were recommendations out of that audit that we were able to execute. One of them being bring back the help desk ticketing system, because at that point wheels had fallen off and half the staff wasn't using it and they were emailing directly or showing up at our offices. And that was part of the unmet expectations as well, because it's like, I emailed this person and not getting back to me. But meanwhile, there's another queue. So it was just a mess.
Yeah, and because you're accountable to the ticketing system, but they're not using the ticketing system.
Right.
You're getting pulled in 1,000 different directions. Yes.
Exactly. Exactly.
No win situation when that happens.
Mm-mm. Nope. And so when we put the new ticketing system in, messaging came from the top. Hey, everybody, we're using this. Because it does. It provides accountability on both sides.
Yes.
Our team is accountable. We developed a service level agreement. But then also the person who's submitting the ticket. Because if I'm waiting a week for you to reply, then you can't really say that it took me a week to solve your problem.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Like I was waiting for you for that week. So it's accountability on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And then another thing that came out of the audit was that they hire an additional person in IT. And then the third thing was that we look for another database or CRM.
Mm-hmm.
So for the second part, the hiring a new person, the audit was done at the end of 2015. And so then 2017, we find out they are going to go ahead and hire someone, but it's not going to be like a team member helping us do the nitty gritty day-to-day operational stuff, which is what we were thinking because we were feeling overextended.
Yes.
They were going to bring in a director of IT. And we were like, well, how does this help? How does this help?
Yes.
But it ended up being a really great thing, actually, because that decision alone shifted the relationship of IT and the business. It put someone in IT at the table. It recognized that it's its own thing and not just something, a budget line item.
Yes, especially in the 21st century. You know, I know this is several years ago and the pandemic has fast forwarded it, but IT is business. Business is IT. You
exactly,
can't
yes.
have that lack of strategy in IT anymore and expect your business to be successful.
Yep, absolutely. It's just too intertwined.
Yes. All right.
Yeah. So,
they bring in this IT director.
Mm-hmm.
How does it help?
Yeah. How does it help? Yes. Absolutely. So, and I think they made an excellent choice. The person they brought in has seen this before, you know, knew it was able to identify quickly that the perception of IT from business was flawed,
mm-hmm.
and that we really needed to shift our how we thought about IT and how we thought about the business and the responsibility of the business
yes.
versus IT. In the book, The CIO Paradox, they talk about there's two types of problems, IT failures and business successes.
Mm-hmm.
And he came in and he was like, you know what? These are not IT projects, first of all. These are business projects. And so with the new, we did an RFP for a new CRM. And so upfront, I was like, this is not an IT project. And if we go into it as an IT project, it's going to fail. So getting that buy-in from the business and then bringing in change management as well. That was huge.
Okay.
Just knowing how we handled projects in the past, it wasn't looking good at the beginning. But so fortunately, the new director of IT came in and I was like, all right, business projects, we need change management.
Yes. And having that discipline. And so I'm curious about, you know, there was that 2-year time frame, you know, where we went from you feel overextended, IT audit, punch to the gut, and then we're transitioning into some more problem solving. For you at the time, I know you were an individual contributor, but what were some of the daily feelings or weekly feelings you were having as you all continued to slowly march through and get out of this, I'm going to call it a slog, because it feels like a slog to me, where your reputation was attacked, your values were probably violated. I know I'm putting words in your mouth, but that's what I would envision this time as. And then you've got now this new IT leader who's thinking more strategically. What were your thoughts during this time?
Oh, that's a great question. So initially, after, you know, getting over the personal, I don't know, just feeling defeated and frustrated. And I also saw the unrealistic expectations. Actually, you know how you can go on and like make your own mugs. And back then it wasn't as common as it is now. Like now you can make anything.
Yes.
But I actually had a couple mugs made that said IT Department of Magic. Because that's how it felt. People just wanted me to wave a wand and like do stuff. Like, hey, wouldn't this be great?
Yes.
Do it. I'm like, okay, let me just take my wand out and wave it around. You know, some things you have to build and you may need a developer. And if you need a developer, then it's not going to be done next week. And we need to do more about defining what we actually want. If we kept that same behavior and just got a new CRM, I didn't think anything was going to change.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually, you know, we did the pro side change management and followed the ADKAR model. So the first is awareness and the D is desire.
Yes.
So my desire was very, very low. Like I was bringing the team down because I didn't feel like anything was going to change. And our database was so custom and we were going to something that was not as custom.
Yes.
Like, you know, if you all continue to just be like, make this happen.
Yep.
We're going to have a harder time doing that. The magical things. So we really needed to address that mindset and that expectation first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That makes all the sense in the world. I did an episode with another gentleman who ran large construction projects. And the title of it was Project Management Problems Always Have People Solutions. And it's the exact same thing with technology. Technology problems always have people solutions, because it's the tech is never going to save your company. It's how you engage in the company that has the possibility of transforming it. And, you know, to your point about a very customized database, then going to something a bit more off the shelf that also has high levels of customization that's possible. Eventually, most folks are thinking, oh, new system. But then in their brain, they're going, oh, but I want the same functionality over here. I don't want to have to shift my thinking. And really, I don't want to have to shift my habits or my practices. I just hear that this new system is cool. So we should get this new system. And it never works that way. Never, ever, ever.
Right. Yep.
So what did you experience as this IT director comes in? You know, you implement ProSci, you implement project management discipline, you implement a new CRM for the organization. What did you come to see about the possibilities for IT when you have that strategic leader at the head of the table with all the other strategic leaders?
It was really night and day, you know, to be able to say no sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And to refocus on the business's overall strategy. Like if this change doesn't affect our strategy, then let's not spend our resources.
Yeah. Why are we doing it? Yes. Yes.
And just being able to see, you know, like IT time as a resource. If, you know, we weren't really good at being able to measure money-wise, like, you know, the time spent, like what that cost the organization.
Yes.
So being able to say, you know, we should measure this, and it's not an unlimited resource just because we're on staff.
Yes.
So let's make sure that we're spending our time and our resources wisely in a way that supports the organization overall and supports the strategy of the organization.
Yes, absolutely. It's when so many folks get frustrated at the daily grind, the daily spin, the why are we doing this work? The answer comes in the form of the strategic plan. The strategic plan, the values, the mission, the vision need to be our lens for making decisions about why we're spending. It's not about spending the time, it's about investing the resources. Mm-hmm. Because as an IT professional, even though you are salaried, it doesn't matter if you spend 40 hours a week, 80 hours a week, 120 hours a week at work, you're never going to get it all done. And I'm using air quotes for people who are listening in. Mm-hmm. Because you're spinning your wheels on just doing busy work when it's not planted, founded in the strategic plan, which should be the direction of the organization, which is the role of the top level leaders. That's like one of my soapboxes. I'd get a go in. All right. So I want to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Heather is now the CIO of her organization, and that did not happen on accident. You went from a resistor of adding strategic capacity. And now you know better, right? Like at the time you were in a different mindset. You were a resistor. Your desire was low to switch technologies to you leading the whole damn thing. Like you the boss. So we're going to talk about that and what that has meant for the organization and what it has meant for you. Okay?
Sounds great.
All right. Well, we take a quick break from this amazing conversation today. I want to share with you a new tool that I have for you. I know there's a myth in our workplaces that meetings have to suck, and I don't believe that whatsoever. By all accounts, our time in meetings have doubled, if not more, since the start of the pandemic. And this time with your colleagues should not be a waste of time. It should be the most valuable. So if you're looking for more resources to lead meetings that are productive, powerful, impactful, and have everyone participating, get over to my website at stephaniecrevins.com/lead-kickass-meetings and get some new tools so that when you leave a meeting with your colleagues, you're not left going, what the actual F was that? You're going, yes, we're going to take on the world together. Let's get this done, because it was an unbelievably powerful meeting. Those tools are out there for you, my friends, and they're on my website today. stephaniecrevins.com/lead-kickass-meetings. Now, let's get back into that conversation.
All right. So Heather, let's dig back in. We're recording this May 2023. You're the big boss in IT. Quickly walk us through, you know, IT director, I believe that person became CIO, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep. We did a restructure.
Yep. That person. Okay. Yeah. And so that person leaves and now you're in charge. And How did you get yourself on board during those years to really become the champion of IT that your organization deserves?
A lot of it had to do with the director / CIO bringing me along and also advocating on behalf of the IT department.
Of course.
And because that then gave me the freedom and the opportunity, not just, you know, the opportunity to do meaningful work, meaningful projects.
Yes.
And to give my opinion, because I've been in this mix for a while. You know, mm-hmm. I started working here in 2008, and I had seen a lot of this technology come in and out, a lot of the changes, you know, working closely with each staff person for so many years, and having, you know, I had thoughts and I had suggestions.
Yes.
And I didn't always feel like I could voice them. So with him being on the executive leadership team, he would encourage me to use my voice and give me an opportunity and ask me. Like, that was like, was that crazy? Like, what do you think? And drawing upon the board and my ideas out here. So it was like, that kind of pulled me out of the despair.
Mm-hmm.
For lack of a better word. It wasn't always despair, but, you know, moments of despair.
Yes.
That, you know, what is it all for? What am I doing? And so that was exciting. It was like, yes, I have thoughts and ideas,
mm-hmm.
and I have insight and expertise. And here's my opportunity to put it to use. And that was like, just, it was just life-giving, really.
That makes complete sense. And I mean, when I think about, because oftentimes we come into organizations and there's a group or there's groups or there's individuals that feel like they don't have a voice. They don't, their opinion doesn't matter. Their perspective doesn't matter. And what I'm hearing in this situation is that strategic leader needs to be the voice in between executive team and individual contributors, and relying on those individual contributors who are on the front lines. They know the pain point. They hear mm-hmm. the perspective of their colleagues in a more unvarnished way that doesn't Absolutely. Filter up to the executive level team in the same way. And so yeah. you have a perspective on that problem that I think really, really, you can see the pain that this causes in the business. You can see the hiccups, the bottlenecks that this really causes, because you get more of the unvarnished truth at your level. Your IT director / CIO is willing to take that voice up, take your voice up, and make it a priority, just like all the other voices were.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
Ooh. I think this is helping me craft this message around what it means to lead strategically. And it's being that connection point and bringing in the right voices at the right time, the right perspectives at the right time to move things along. It's a key influence mm-hmm. skill. You move into the big boss chair. How has your experience through all of this shaped who you are as a CIO?
I think for me, like I'm a problem solver at heart. Like that's mm-hmm. what comes the most naturally to me. Mm-hmm. Less so the strategy. Like I kind of have to work a little harder at that, but that's fine. You know, I don't have a problem. You know, we all have to be deliberate about something.
Yeah. They're all skills. They're just all skills yeah. to be learned. Yes. There's nothing wrong yeah. or broken or bad. You're just learning new skills. Totally get it.
Yep. It's been a lot of fun, actually. I'm really enjoying it. And I think, you know, being in this organization for so long, I really try to make things better. Like what processes are hard and clunky? You know, how can we relieve some of that drudgery, you know, of work or things that are awkward or things that, especially from our member point of view, you know, if the member is interacting with us as the headquarters, like, what is their experience like? Are they leaving that experience feeling good, or are they leaving it feeling frustrated? Because if that's the case, then we need to fix something.
Yes.
You know, what is in the way of people doing their best work? You know, we've been working a lot with our foundation the last year and a half. And I feel like, you know, when we first did the integration or did the implementation of Salesforce, a lot of it was just, it has to work. It has to work. So it was the operational stuff and the administrative stuff that got the most attention. And now we're like, how can we empower our foundation to do what they do, to go out there and raise money so that they can be, you know, giving even more scholarships and grants. So it's a lot of like picture painting and dream casting mm-hmm. of what's possible.
Yes.
Because people don't know what's possible necessarily, especially, you know, I think to us, Salesforce is still very new and it's enormous. And there's so yes. many things you can do.
Yes.
And now that we're not like, I feel like it was a, you know, it's a moving train. And for the first 2 years, we're just like running alongside it, holding on. And it's just going, we're just holding on to the train.
Yes.
And now like we're on the train and we're looking, we can look and see, and now we know where we are and mm-hmm. you know, where we can start focusing on where we're getting to rather than just holding on and trying not to get drugged.
That makes sense. What I hear you doing as a gift of your leadership, a top level skill, is you're asking new questions in new ways, which always gets better answers. You know, I don't know if you realize this, but what I heard you just say is, you know, what's in the way of people doing their best work? That's a powerful question. And what's possible? Because people don't know what's possible with technology. And at the same time, they don't understand what it takes to make possibility reality. It doesn't mean that, mm-hmm. you know, the next dream of what the organization needs in 10 years is impossible. It means it's going to take a shit ton of work to get there. And we have to focus our efforts to really make it happen. That's not bad. It's not a reason to say no to it. It's just, you've got to go into it with the right fuel, kind of like, you know, if you were being drug on the train, right? Like you're holding onto the handle and your body's kind of flying off. You're like, oh my gosh, we got it. Like, hold on. It's okay. Now we're on the train. And by the way, this is a 24-hour train ride. We got to make sure we have food and a change of clothing and that we get the sleeper car so we can take a nap and a shower so we feel refreshed and we can be, you know, keep up with the view on the outside. It's just a different kind of journey. All right. I want to ask you one last question and I'll let you get back to changing your part of the world, doing that good work you do. From being in the CIO suite now, having a seat at that executive level table and knowing where you've been, what would you say to the Heather of 2015, the Heather of 2016 that you know now that she didn't know then?
Oh, that's a really great question. I would tell my 2015 self just to keep going, just to keep using your talents, keep using your skills, and keep seeking out new opportunities to learn new skills.
Yes.
And I mean, sometimes we can get so discouraged. And I've got teenagers now, and I think, and just remembering, so when I was a teenager, you know, there's so much self-doubt.
Yes.
And so many questions, you know, who am I? Who am I trying to be? And I don't think that really ever leaves us as adults.
Agreed.
We're all asking that question, like, who am I? And who am I trying to be? So
every day.
Right. I know. I try not to, I didn't want to break it to my 17-year-old, but it's an ongoing question.
Yes.
But that's okay. It's an okay question to ask. Mm-hmm. And I think as we mature and get more confident in ourselves, it's like, I may not always feel like I know everything or that I fit in everywhere, but I was put here with talents and skills and I'm capable and there's a place for me. And you just got to keep doing you. And, you know, when you find that place and can be appreciated, I think that's.
Yes. Agree completely. Oh my gosh. I'm going to add to that is like adulting doesn't get any easier. Like sometimes it's really overrated. Yeah. You wake up on a Wednesday morning saying, who am I? And still go,
I get here.
Yeah. Right. How did time fly so fast? Yeah. I love it. Well, thank you so much for this conversation, for sharing your wisdom and experience and perspective. I am so grateful that you kept showing up and that your showing up brought us together so we could have this conversation today too. So thank you.
Thank you. I'm so honored to be part of this podcast. Thank you for bringing me on. It's been a great conversation.
Fabulous. My friend, here is why I love Heather's presence, her thinking style, the way she attacks problems. Heather is a more introverted leader that has a very pensive approach. And she is a leader that has risen from being a frontline staff person as an individual contributor to being in the C-suite, to being at that executive level. And I think you have so much to learn from her process, her progress, her approach. In particular, I want to share with you my takeaways. And wherever you're watching or listening in, would you share yours too? Here's what I got that stood out to me. You know, when she talked about accountability exists on both sides. Accountability is a two-way street, right? Like you can't do what you say you will do when you say you will do it if other people don't also meet their deadlines. That's equally important. That's what keeps progress moving forward is when we're all able to do our part in a timely, relevant way. She mentioned a great resource. So if you haven't checked it out yet, the book CIO Paradox, let's get in on that. I know I'm going to read it as soon as we hang up today too. And two really powerful coaching questions that you can ask yourself and those that you work with. What is getting in the way of people doing their best work? I love this question. And frankly, I want to hear what your answers are when you ask it to your team. And then the second question, what's possible? Doesn't mean that it's not going to be hard. It doesn't mean that it's not going to take resources. It doesn't mean that what we dream up of possibilities is impossible. Maybe it's impossible in the short term, but definitely possible in the long term. What is possible? All right, my friend, let's get back to the big impactful work that really drives innovation, drives transformation, and drives making a change in the world. And I'll see you next time.